Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles transform the way they work. After closing their New York City showroom, they started doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, people from all over the world can come into their showroom. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Wow, 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 wow. It is Super Bowl time, MIP. Super Bowl 55 MIP. Folks, listen, I'm so hyped for what I just experienced in Tampa. We have so much to talk about. I want to talk to you, and I know there's a lot going on around the NFL. I know J.J. Watt just got granted his release. Russell Wilson out here talking about possibly playing for someone else. But Super Bowl 55 deserves all my attention today on the Michael Irvin Podcast, the MIP. We will discuss the experience of Super Bowl 55 in Tampa. Oh, I want to share with you how my week went down. We will break down the game, and then we will have my ring brother, Mike Evans, my ring brother, 6 years of hell, not making the playoffs, and then the seventh in heaven. That's kind of interesting, though, you know, because, you know, 6 years in hell and a seventh in heaven because they got to the Super Bowl, his seventh year. I just thought about that as I was saying it. Let's jump right into it. That's what I'm telling y'all. I'm excited about it because I was acting like a fool in Tampa. I just want to tell y'all. I was acting like a fool in Tampa. That thing was off the chain. It didn't start this way, but it ended on a real high note. Monday night, let me break down this week for you. Monday night, we did what we call the intro show. That's the show usually, it's the welcoming show where all the teams are coming in and we have the arena. And we get to talk to all the players. And we usually do that on site, you know, on site. But this time we had to do it virtual because the teams were not coming to Tampa. So already off the top, I said, oh, this is going to be different. So I did the opening night. We called it opening night. We did that right here. I did that from home, right here in my office, virtual. Did it on the camera, right? So Tuesday, after we did opening night, Kansas City stayed in Kansas City. Tampa was still in. They were at home in Tampa. We still got the interviews in, got to talk to the guys. The guys were still on the podium virtually for everybody. And it starts off with me opening up the interview. I would ask the interview. I would talk to the guys first. And then they open it up to everybody else, which is always fun because we really don't. In opening night, we're really not talking football stuff. You know, Monday night, we get to talk all other stuff, all the fun stuff, the stuff that nobody really talks about during the season because everybody's just, hey, we're on this next game. We're focused on the game. We're focused on the game. Monday night, it's all a mess. We get it all out the way. We have fun with it, you know, talk about the other things. And it was great. Tuesday, I go to Tampa. Now, I've been to many Super Bowls. I worked for the network over the last 15 years and got a chance to go to all of them because I was working them all, right? And every time you go to Super Bowl, usually I go in either that Sunday, and then we do opening night on Monday night. Tuesday, I do a media. We do the big media day on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, I start doing shows. I do a show Wednesday, show Thursday, show Friday, you know. But this is how this thing usually goes. I go in Sunday night. I go in, you know, I ain't gonna lie. Let me just be straight with y'all because y'all family here. This family. Most people come in Monday. I'm going to go in Sunday night. Why do you go in Sunday night, Michael? Because I'm going to go in Sunday night I'm going to go out Sunday night. I want to get in and get out before everybody come in. You see what I'm saying? I want to have my night out, go do my vodka cranberry thing around town that early Sunday prior to everybody coming in. Because when everybody come in, that's when I run. I'm high. Now, yeah, I'm high. There. I ain't going to be out there with everybody, but I'm going to be out there where everybody was. Yeah. That was fun. Usually I got in Sunday night, but this was different. So now I go in Tuesday morning. Of course, there's nothing to do Tuesday night, so we really don't do anything Tuesday night. There's nothing really to do Wednesday night, but this is what was different. Wednesday, when you go in, usually I go in on Sunday, you know, you're there Monday and Tuesday. But usually Tuesday night, Wednesday, oh my God, you start seeing people start piling in there. And I mean, it start getting crowded Wednesday. By Thursday, you can barely move at a Super Bowl. I mean, people done came in and streets are blocked. You can't get around. Traffic is horrific. Thursday, Friday, it's slammed. It's slammed, and everybody's throwing all of these parties. You're trying to find out. People are calling you. How can I get in the party? Can I get in the Maxim party? What about the ESPN party? You got the Bud Light party, Mike? Can you get us in the Bud Light party? All of the parties, everybody's asking about what the party, what's going on, what's going on? Where are you going? Where are we going? This is what Super Bowl is usually like. None of that was happening this year. None of it. So I'm sitting there saying, wow. COVID is killing us, man. COVID has taken the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, because I ain't going to lie. I was like, man, these people ain't going to abide by these rules. This is the first time the Super Bowl, a home team, is playing in the Super Bowl. Who's going to abide by the rules? So I got to give Tampa some props. I didn't see them Tuesday night when I got there. It was dead. I stayed right on right. They call it Ybor, same thing. You know, they call it Ybor. Everybody else call it Ybor. I stayed right there, right on the edge. My suite at the Hyatt Hotel is a beautiful hotel, beautiful suite, right outside of Ybor, and it was nobody there. Wednesday night, nobody. Thursday night, you saw a few people trickling in. But it really looked like maybe a regular Thursday night in Tampa. I was like, wow, this is amazing, man. This thing has destroyed our Super Bowl. But when Friday hit, oh my God, when Friday hit, I'm going to tell y'all, you know, I love you like a brother from another mother. I ain't never seen that many Negroes in one place in my life. I was right there in Ybor City. Oh, my God. I ain't never seen that many. They were everywhere. I said, oh, God. I looked out that room. I was like, hey, it was just a sea of brothers. A sea of brothers all down on Ybor. I was like, oh, I said, okay. You started feeling that Super Bowl vibe. Everybody, the cars started coming through, making noise with the signs, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sign flying around. I said, okay, now I'm getting the Super Bowl feel. Now you're getting the Super Bowl feel. And so, you know, you get to move around a little bit. Friday night, I just moved around a little bit. I ain't going to lie. I'm going to be straight with y'all because I looked out the window, and I usually don't do anything Friday nights. But since I didn't have my proper Sunday night or a Monday night, I thought that maybe I should just dive into a little bit Friday night. A little bit Friday night. And this is why I was able to do it, why I said I was able to do it, at least how I told myself and sold to myself. I said, okay, Michael, it's a lot of brothers down there. And no way you're going to go down there and tell them brothers, no pictures, don't do this, don't do that. I got protocol. I got to be on TV Sunday. I got to go to the stadium, the NFL. I got to take all these tests, you know, COVID tests. So none of that. But I said, okay, but I got a mask on and I can put a Scully on. So I put on the mask and the Scully, like the Scully like I wore in the Longest Yard, you know, whenever you put on a Scully in a mask and you a big brother like me, oh, you look scary. Oh, you look scary. I'm just being real. You look scary. Nobody is going to say too much to you. And I ain't really want nobody to say too much to me. That's why I was trying to hide. I just wanted to get in the mix. So I got a chance to walk down. And trip me out. I'm walking right in the middle of Ybor City. And I got my mask on, got my Scully on. And I be damned if I still didn't have them brothers saying, Mike Irvin. Mike, I was like, how the hell can you see? Wait a minute. I was like, wait a minute. How can you see me? I got this black mask on in a black Scully, a black hat on. How can you see me under here? They were still calling me out. I'm like, hey, man, please, let's keep it cool. I'm going to come back Sunday night after the game when there's no protocols. Don't say anything that I was out here. But I had to be in the midst of it, and I wanted to feel the people. This man, this isolation that we've been going through, I'm telling y'all, and I know everybody has to do what we have to do, but I can't wait, guys. I can't wait. I promise you, I can't wait till we can get back in a stadium all together and do us, and just do us. And I'm going to tell you something, man, watch how it revives you. When I went to that stadium Saturday, because we did a little run through Saturday, man, I took my camera, I shot me coming up to the stadium because I realized I hadn't been to an NFL stadium all year. I had never spent that much time in my life and not gone to a stadium. And I had never thought about it. And when I got in there, I went to a new level of hype, man. I was in my camera, I said, you muddle. I was cussing at COVID. You tried to keep me from here, you dirty dog. You didn't beat me. You didn't beat us. We're here. You know, all of that, man. And I'm telling you, when you come in the stadium, that's what we all should do. We should all just put our middle finger up at COVID and say, you tried and you took a year from us, but we are back. Because there is nothing like that gathering. That game. At that game, and I had taken Tampa too all week. Everybody was talking about Kansas City, and I had been telling everybody, be careful now. Be careful. This thing gonna be good now. There's a lot going on, and Tampa ain't going to let you come into their house and take their food and take their woman and just walk out. They can't do that. Because if you walk in my house, you take my food, you sit down at my table, you hold my woman's hand, you take my woman. Every time I come to that house, I got to think about this. I would have to get rid of the whole house. And Tampa couldn't get rid of that whole stadium. That's why I knew. I said, you know what? There are three levels I want you to understand when you talk about football. There are three levels you break football down on. The basic analyst is going to break it down on one level, skill level. They're analyzing the skill level of each team. That's what I call the one-on-one analyst. He's breaking it down on just the skill level of each team. But the mature analyst understands that there are more variables than just skill. It's the skill level. There's also the will level. How badly do I want it? So skill and will, I have to measure both. When I'm analyzing teams. And the third and most important is connectivity. I have to measure skill level, will level, and connectivity. Here are the three bases by which I manage and measure and analyze football teams. I'm giving you something here. I'm giving you something from the vault right here, buddy. There are a lot of guys right now you watch on TV don't even know this. And I'm going to help them, too. They need to listen to the MIP so they can be better analysts. I just helped all of them. When you're looking at this thing, there's skill, there's will, and there's connectivity. Kansas City has the better skill. But Kansas City did not have the deeper will. Because Kansas City has what I call a little bit of ring satiety. Ring satisfaction. We got a ring. We're in the ring room. We in the club. Tampa Bay, and my guest later on will tell you, he's been in Tampa. It's his seventh year. His first 6 years there, he didn't even know anything about ring satiety. He didn't even know about playoff satiety. He hadn't even gotten in the playoffs. So you know how hungry he is. So skill and his will is equal to his hunger, and his hunger is starving. He has 6 years, Mike Evans, of being in the playing with the Buccaneers and not even getting nowhere close to a playoffs. I almost said sniffing the playoffs, but I try to stay away from words like that because people always come on. Michael says sniffing. I always stay away from stuff like that. So, you know, he ain't got nowhere close to a playoff, to be honest with you. And so can you imagine his will level? Can you imagine all of their will levels that they hadn't gotten close to a playoff? And then you put that on top of they were playing at home. That's going to take their will level to another level. And then the third, connectivity. You got a guy that has just won 6 Super Bowls that comes over and he's texting these guys all day and every day, all week. And you'll hear from my guests about how Tom Brady is texting these guys and what he's texting these guys. That's the connectivity. That's the connectivity. He's texting, "We will win. Hey, on this play, make sure you're doing this. On this play, make sure you're doing that. We will win." When I heard all of this and I gathered all of this, because this is the information I have to gather before I make a decision on who I'm going with, I told him, I said, "Everybody, I know what I'm doing." And again, they gave it to me. On that desk, everybody picked Kansas City. And I said, no. I'm taking Tampa. No way they are coming in here to beat the Buccaneers today. No way. They may beat them next week if they play somewhere else. If it's just another game, they may beat them. But it was not going to happen that day. And I was the only one to take Tampa. I got the long wolf. That's what we do on our show when you're the only one pick a team. It's called a long wolf. A long wolf, the GOAT. I couldn't believe they gave me the GOAT, the long wolf. I understand why, because we're all enamored with the young Patrick Mahomes, and we should be. We should be on a skill level. But remember, as I'm teaching and sharing, you got to count that will and the connectivity. And they slipped on that, and I measured it heavily and rightfully so. Did you see what Tampa was doing? Dude, I'm going to tell you something. When I watch right now, and I know Tom Brady won MVP, and I see Tom and Gronk saying, "What are you doing next?" "We're going to Disney World." And it's right, and it's fine, it's all fun. But I'm going to count, the real MVP, we're going to name today. After we talk to Mike Evans, we're going to name the real MVP. We're going to dub him the playmaker of the Super Bowl. I got the real MVP. It's going to be my playmaker of the Super Bowl. We will talk about that later. But I'm telling you, wow, what a game. And to be in that stadium with those 30,000 fans that was there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was, and it's why I say I can't wait till we get a chance to all come back together. Because the vibe, The spirit that went through that stadium, it was so uplifting and reviving. Oh my God, I didn't want to leave. And let me tell you how long my day was too. Now I got up at 6 in the morning. We were on at 9. I got to be at my call time 7:30, 8 o'clock. So I got to be at the stadium and be ready. So we're on at 9. I'll go off at 5:30, 6 o'clock, right before the game. Watch the game, then I have to go back on for 2 hours after the game. I should have been exhausted. I should have been dead. But I was no mummy. I was alive and kicking. I ain't never felt so good. It's been years since I felt like that, and certainly it's been at least a year because I hadn't been in a stadium like that. And those people going crazy. I came on that post-game show. I was at 110. I was at 110, dude. It was the greatest thing in the world, y'all. I wish you could have been there, man. I really do wish you could have been there. It was just so great to see. So great to be in that moment, to see that kind of history. And either way, it was history. It was history from the moment we got there. Whatever happened was going to be history, but that way history happened with the home team winning and the home team playing the way they played. It was just absolutely insane. It really was, man. Out of all of it, when I caught myself celebrating with the Winfields, Antoine Whitfield, Junior, Antoine Whitfield, Senior. He was so happy, man. Senior was so happy. I looked at him, I said, boy, you experienced. There's no greater feeling a father could have than seeing his son take after him and then playing and winning in a Super Bowl in his home stadium. In front of his hometown, there is no greater accomplishment for a father, especially one that played in the NFL like Antoine Whitfield did. It is, I sat there with him and looked at him and said, wow, man, God has allowed you to experience this. He said, man, I can't believe it, Michael. It's just incredible. It's incredible, and his son played well. Now he played well. He was holding up the number two to Tyreek Hill. Like, yeah, You remember all that y'all did when y'all came in here in week 12? He said, yeah, we did it all right back. Did you see two guys where they were? Devin White was over there calling on the phone. Yeah, send help for the Chiefs. No, we got help. We the same thing that Tyreek Hill and those guys were doing to them in week 12. That's why, you remember your mom used to say, be careful how you treat people on your way up, because you may pass by the same old people on your way down. And Kansas City had to pass by them same old people on their way down. And they made sure they reminded them what went down in week 12. Wasn't cool. I tell you, man, I've been to so many Super Bowls, and this is one of my most enjoyable Super Bowls. And it's funny because it started out so slow, and I thought COVID had robbed us totally. But it ended up in a great spot. It ended up with victory, I thought, all around. I believe even Tampa winning says so much. You know, I'm always looking for the story that's deep within the story. You know, when you see relationship between the Tom Brady's and the Antonio Browns and Leonard Fournette's, and you see the diversity that Coach Bruce Arians has on his staff, and we're going to dive deeper into that with Coach Bruce Arians, because we'll have him next week. And then probably the week after that, I'll get my guy like Rich Eisen and we'll go over it all and break down the whole season. But we'll talk to Coach Arians about that diversity of his staff being something that we can all glean from as a country. Look at how the diversity and all that he has on his staff, and it produced a champion. It produced a champion. We'll talk to Mike Evans about that also, because I think that says something. And I think football is supposed to, that we take it because it's so much like what we go through every day. You know, you can't have the individual isolated success in football, just like you can't have it in family or business, organization or corporations. So the parallels run so greatly together. That's why we can glean so much from football games. And I just glean so much from that football game in the midst of a pandemic, to win, to come together 1 year like that team did and accomplish what that team did. That should tell us what we can accomplish. if we all come together and stop all this bickering and fighting about nothing and spend the energy that we do use fighting on finding a solution, man, we can all become, we can make this thing here like we want it to be, back like we want it to be again. And I hope that we're willing to work towards that. But boy, it was just a great time, guys. It was a great time, and I wish you could have been there. And I know you couldn't have been there because of COVID. But that's why I'm happy with what I see the NFL's doing right now. And I see sports teams all at offering up their stadiums so we can get vaccinated. I was like, that's brilliant. That's brilliant for the NFL, brilliant for Major League Baseball. Everybody, let's get everybody vaccinated so we can get back to our way of life. Those 30,000 people sound like 70 and 80,000. I can only imagine what the 70 and 80,000 would have really sounded like. But I do believe soon and very soon, we will know again. We will know again. It was an insane and incredible Super Bowl. So much I took from it. It was truly one of my greatest experiences with the Super Bowl. I'm hoping I see everybody there next year. But this year, it was special. We'll talk about just how special it was with our special guest, Mike Evans, sits down with the MIP next. Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles reinvent the way they work. When the pandemic hit, the bike shop had to close their New York City showroom. They found a way to reopen by doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, the team can meet with two or three times the number of customers than they could before. And people from all over the world can visit their showroom, learn more about their story, and others at Microsoft.com/Teams. As I told you today, I have one of the baddest men in the NFL, man, and he is a champion. My ring brother, the winner of Super Bowl 55. This man is a three-time Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, and Super Bowl 55 champion. He was drafted to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2014 with the 7th pick overall. Please welcome my ring brother, Mike Evans. Mike, let's start right and jump right into this, man. Thank you for joining the MIP podcast, man. And just tell me, what has the last few days been like after being crowned champion? And I say it this way: never before has anyone stood on their own home ground and received the ultimate Super Bowl crown. Take me through that moment, buddy.
I appreciate the introduction, man. It means a lot coming from you. These past few days have been epic. They've been epic. It feels like I'm just dreaming. Like I'm just going through a really great dream. And it's been a great process. The boat parade was unbelievable. I never thought that a boat parade would be that fun. But we're just having a lot of fun, man, and enjoying this history.
When did they come up with that idea of the boat parade? Because I think
the Lightning did it, because when they won it this year, the Tampa Bay Lightning, right. They did a boat parade because we couldn't do it on the streets.
Right.
So we did it again, and it was a huge turnout, huge success.
It was more than a huge success. It was on a lot of levels. It was great to watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm gonna take some mic. Let me say this too. Let me go self indict. Sunday night when I was in Tampa and we were staying right there in Ybor, that Hyatt Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go out when I looked out my suite and looked down at Ybor. It looked like Brotherville, USA. I ain't never seen that many brothers in my life. I've never seen that many brothers in my life. And I was out there with them dudes like I was you. Like I had no coat holes and won this game. One time I was with Whitfield. We were in a club, man. We were drinking. I caught myself in the mirror, right? You know, you have a drink and you look, you see yourself in the mirror. And I caught my own eye to eye. I was like, what are you doing? You're one down. Why are you acting like this? But it was just such an incredible celebration for the city. Yeah. That it was so easy to get drawn into. Mike, take me through this whole journey, man. I mean, you had six phenomenal years. Six phenomenal years at Tampa. And you didn't get in the playoffs. You said to me before, man, you had started doubting. And then you get to this year. What was your assessment of Tom Brady prior to Tom signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What were your thoughts of Tom Brady after he won six Super Bowls and everything before you even had an idea that he was coming to Tampa?
Well, he was already – I already thought he was the most accomplished player that we have ever seen. I feel like quarterback is the hardest position in all of team sports mentally. And, you know, he's been doing it for so long, and he's still going. I just thought he was the greatest player to ever play, you know, football. And, you know, I see why, you know, to see it firsthand, the way he works, the way he takes care of his body, the way he gets the guys ready to go and gets us fired up and ready to play. It's like, he's like a fictional character, man. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I'm very happy that he's on our side.
I always tell people, man, you quarterbacks, man, you know, you got a great one. And you got a great one that has a unique talent to not. And it's so funny. I after the first Tom won the first Super Bowl, I was there and he came up to me. He was just a young buck. You know what he asked me, Mike? Yeah. He said, man, how did you guys win more than one? He said, how did you do it? He asked me that question. I said, man, listen, I said, always walk with your team, not before them, not behind them. Walk with your team. And I said, you know, when I look back now, I said, man, that's exactly what he does.
Yeah,
look,
literally.
Things like that means a great deal. Like when you came back, I know I didn't say it, and I need to. The other day when you said to me, you remember what you said to me on the floor at the combine? When I said something to you, when you brought that back to me, oh, when you get my age,
yeah,
those things matter. That little stuff matters. Just to know that you dropped the seed and something grew from it and you see what's happening with it. So that just means a lot. And I think Tom is so great at that, at being one of the guys from the quarterback position. And you don't always get that from the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. But Tom is like that. Speak to that.
Man, like you said it, like literally when we do our call-outs for the offense, when it's a home game and offense gets called out, we go as a whole offense. It used to be just individually we go out.
Right.
First game of the year, he said, hey, offense, we're going out together. So they introduced the Tampa Bay Bucs offense, and we all run out together. And, like, he literally walks with the team. He just wants what's best for the team, and he just wants to win. That's all he cares about.
I heard he was texting you guys, we will win for the week. Was that true?
He was texting us a lot of clips. Lots and lots of film and what to expect on certain down and distances. And he does that all the time, but just in the playoffs and especially this game, he went above and beyond. Like 12 at night, 6 in the morning, 5, people ain't even up. He's telling us, hey, this won't work versus this guy. You got to do it running like this. And just the detail that went into this and the, you know, the extra meetings and all the hard work, it all paid off. And, you know, Tom is a great leader.
Mike, do you ever think, man, that you would have this kind of career? I mean, I know you talked about some lean years early on, you know, and not making the playoffs. But that wasn't, you know, and it's a team sport. We understand that. But you were doing your thing, Mike. Do you even know how many records you own right now, NFL records or Tampa Bay Buccaneer records? Do you know what all you have?
I know I got quite a few, but I'm chasing more. I'm chasing more. I feel like I'm just getting started. I'm still a young man. I'm learning more. You know, I get better each year, learn how to take care of my body better each year. The game slows down for me each year. And, you know, I'm just trying to play this game, you know, as long as I can, as long as God will allow me.
I can't, Mike. Listen, quite a few is an understatement. I don't want to hear this. I got quite a few. No,
well, I got the book. I know about the books. I know I got some NFL
you got
records
12,
as well.
You got 12 buck records, and you got another 6 NFL records. I mean, you got, you know, most seasons of 1,000 receiving yards to begin a career. Youngest player to reach 7,000 career receiving yards. Youngest player to reach 6,000 career receiving yards. Youngest player to have 5 seasons of 1,000 receiving yards. Youngest player to have 6 seasons of 1,000. Youngest player to have 200 or more yards. When you get records that says youngest player to, that means those are records that are still going to be added to them, you know, and those are your NFL records. You got 12 Bucks records. I mean, that's a phenomenal, phenomenal career. That's a phenomenal career, man. And you said, you know, early on, it was tough. It was tough. You weren't thinking about the success you were having individually. You were only thinking about the lack of success you were having as a team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I would trade all those seasons in when I had better numbers for this season. Winning the Super Bowl at home, winning 8 straight, ending the season just winning. Didn't lose. When the last time we lost? November. That feels good to just be winning 3 straight months of winning, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I'd trade it in for this again. You know, I want to do this. And, you know, if the numbers drop, so be it. But as long as we continue to win, I'll be perfectly happy.
There's a couple things in there, Mike, that I like digging. First of all, you know you are throwing off people being a wide receiver and saying these kinds of things. You know that, that's not what they're used to hearing from a wide receiver. What do you think about that? When you hear people say, well, that's not what receivers usually say.
Everybody's different, man. Everybody has different personalities. And don't get it, like, twisted. I mean, I want the ball. Every great player wants the ball. You know, I'm a competitor. I always want the rock. I always feel like I'm going to get open. Even if I'm covered, I feel like I can make a play. But we got so many guys that can make plays. I mean, our roster was so deep this year that it's only one ball. And, you know, everybody did their job and did their thing in making plays this whole season. When guys went down, we had guys step up. You know, when I was hurt, you know, still battling through. I mean, we just got so many guys that can make plays. You know, our defense is unbelievable. Our special teams balled out this year. I mean, just the winning is great. And, you know, I got the ball, you know, enough. So,
right. You got the ball enough, like you said, to continue that streak of 1,000 yards for the 7th season. You got it, which is.
That was something I wanted. Yeah.
That was the one you wanted. Now, why was that one so important?
No, that was. That's just it's years and years. Like, it's not, like you said, the youngest player to do something in one game or one season, but 7 straight seasons and to be the first in NFL history to do it. Man, that's all God. And, you know, I'm appreciative that I was able to get that, and hopefully I can keep extending that streak and hopefully we get the streak going for Super Bowls as well.
Yeah, I had that discussion with Chris Rose after the game. Because we were talking quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. I said, there's a difference between great and greatness. And that's what you just explained. Great, I say, is doing something a moment in time.
Yeah.
Greatness is doing it over time. That means all over time. Yeah. I keep doing it over and over and over again, which is what you have done from that wide receiver position with 7 1,000-yard seasons to start your career, surpassing Randy Moss, who you said that you looked up to and modeled your game after. So how much extra did that mean when you were passing Randy Moss? You shared the record with him.
We shared it.
Surpassed him this year.
I mean, when I tied him last year, you know, I was already excited about that. And then to break it, you know, this year it was really close. It was really close. You know, I had some injuries early on, a lot of double teams this year. And then, you know, I got it at the end, and, you know, it just meant a lot. It meant a lot, man. Randy, in my eyes, is the greatest receiver to ever play as far as accomplishments and talent. I'd take Calvin Johnson, though, for if I needed one receiver just to play in a game, I'd take Calvin Johnson. But I feel like Randy was the best if you combine talent and accolades. But, you know, to pass him and break one of his records – it means the world, and I hope I can break some more of all y'all's records. That'll be great.
Yeah, Randy's a bad boy, man.
He is.
Randy here, man. I can't. Jerry and I, we still discuss that. We were supposed to have Randy. It would have been great.
I know.
It's phenomenal, dude. A phenomenal, phenomenal talent. But Mike, what I see you doing, man, and what I saw the team doing for you. Now, like you said, you had injuries this year. But when I was watching it, I brought this up on the air. I was like, you know what? That told me something. Because I felt like everybody, not that you were going to say anything or complain or make any noise about it, but everybody shared those thoughts with you. I felt Coach Arians understood. Tom, they wanted to make sure that you get that record and get that 1,000 yards. I saw that in the game. I was like, man. And for me, I was like, that's great right there.
That means a lot.
Yeah, that means a lot. Because it says my guys are sharing my situation with me. And it makes you want to play for a team like that. It makes you want to play. Would you not say that? It makes you want to play more for them?
Absolutely. You know, at the end of the year, they seen that it was getting close. They said, all right. And then the matchups started working out for us. We played a lot of one-high teams that played more man. Towards the end, we played the Falcons twice. Detroit played a lot of man. So we just tried to take advantage of those games. And, you know, Tom and B.A. was like, we got to get you this record. This is a great record to get. And, you know, it means a lot that they, you know, went out their way to do that for me.
They verbalized that to you? They verbalized
it. Yeah, they told me. They said that. Yeah. They said we got to get you that record. And then, you know, I was appreciative. All I had to do was practice hard and make the plays when the ball came my way.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Just so the people that hear this understand. Most coaches will be saying, like, we just got to think about we're worried about the win. We just got to worry about the win. We got to worry about the win. You know what I'm saying? So that's overboard. And I said, okay, that's how I saw it. I was like, okay, they brought in AB, they're bringing in Gronk. But they're still wanting to make sure Mike knows, and coaches always say this, Coach Arians, Mike knows he's the man. We're going to make sure we look after and take care of you. Mm-hmm. I thought that said a great deal, Mike. And I thought you showing reciprocation to that after the Super Bowl when Coach Arians was talking about it. And I want you to share it with us that you said to him that you were willing to give back some money or redo it, restructure the deal, mm-hmm. however you have to do to keep the team together. Talk to us about how that came about.
I mean, I've been saying it all year. Even last year, our defense was unbelievable, and I knew we had some free agents coming up soon. I always tell them that. Him and Jason, I always tell them, like, if you want to take a little cheese out my check, it's okay. You know, the money is great and all, and I got a lot of it, and I'm gonna get my contract. I'm gonna get a good amount of it. Like, money's nothing to me. I want to win at this point in my career, and you know, I want to keep doing that. And if it means sacrificing a couple dollars, then I'm willing to do that.
But where do you get that from, Mike? In a league, in a world where it's everybody get what you can get. I mean, you know, and I wondered myself. I said, is it because, you know, when you go through, when I first got to Dallas, we went through, you know, we started off 3-13, 1-15. Yep. And I was, dude, listen, I'm talking about boo-hoo crying. I ain't talking about that. Yo, I'm talking about real tears coming out of my eyes. Like, I ain't never lose like this before in my life. Dude, I'll never forget. We opened up against Pittsburgh. I called the first touchdown on Rod Woods. I said, oh, this is easy. We're about to kill this game. My first game, Mike, I called a curl route, too. I called a curl route. You don't catch no touchdowns on the mm-hmm. road route. What are you doing? And I went the distance. I was like, oh, I'm about to kill this league. Man, I scored that touchdown. They scored again. We ain't scored no more. We lost 13 games. That I was crying. And I promise you, I had dudes come to me saying, hey, man, it's the NFL. We don't do that. Let's just make sure we pick up that check on Tuesday. It crushed me. Because I had veterans thinking about the money instead of winning. And you are thinking about the winning instead of money. And that's how you continue to win championships, Mike. And I know you've already made that commitment. You've done it before mm-hmm. in restructuring the deals. In that receivers room, you got Antonio Brown. You got Chris Godwin. Have you guys had any discussions about all you guys trying to stay together to play again?
Yeah, of course. Of course, we knew AB and Chris was up. But we reached our ultimate goal, and, you know, everybody wants to just keep winning. Like, this team, it was such a special year for us. And the way that everybody bonded, it was unbelievable. So, you know, hopefully, you know, Jason and BA can do a great job of getting all our main guys back next year. And hopefully, you know, we could do it again. The money that'll come back. You know, if you're winning, the money will come back.
Well, you sound like Jimmy Johnson, boy.
It'll come back.
You sound like my coach, Jimmy Johnson. That's what he used to tell us.
He's a great coach. He's a great coach, man.
Yeah.
I like Jimmy Johnson.
That, Mike. He's a good man, Mike. He used to tell us, I know some of y'all come here for girls. I know some of you come to make money. And some of y'all want to be famous. He said, but the winning takes care of all of that.
We can all get what we want if we win.
And that's what you sound like right now, man. What's the difference in now over those first 6 years? Yeah, I mean, there's something that turned and made a difference that you can put your finger on.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, but Tom was the player. Tom was one player. But what did
he's a quarterback, though. That's the main position. He's the best ever, so that's going to do a lot already. And then guys just buying in. And like I've said on countless occasions, our roster was one of the most deep rosters ever of all time. Like, look at our roster. Chris Godwin goes down. We still got AB and Mike Evans, Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson. OJ Howard went down. Gronk, Cam Brate, Tanner Hudson, running back room, LeSean McCoy, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, Sneak Vaughn. Like, we got too many guys on the offensive side, and our defense was unbelievable. One of the best defenses in the league, if not the best, this past year.
No, they were
some dogs this year. They were some savages, man. They were so confident going into every game, and they just loved the game. They loved playing with each other. They were communicating all year, talking shit. Like, it was fun to watch them do their thing this year.
It is fun, man. Did you guys have that? You know, when we were winning Super Bowls, we had that accountability going one to another. And when I'm watching teams and measuring them now, if I see a defense walk off and offense walk on, and I don't see no communication between nobody, or a special teams walk off and a defense walk on, I don't see no communication. I said, it won't go that far. But if you see teams talk, come on now, we gonna stop. Yo, stop it one time. We're gonna come back and get it. That kind of accountability and communication, then you got a shot. How much of that did you guys have going off and on the field this year?
Oh, a lot of it all year. Defense gets scored on. You know, we got their back. We're encouraging them. We get three straight three and outs. The defense tells us they got our back. They believe in us. They trust in us. And, you know, every time we're making plays, we're happy for each other. I feel like our continuity this year, it reached the level that it needed to reach to get to where we wanted to go. And, you know, it was a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing when it ends up with the ring. That's my rhyme for that. It's always a beautiful thing when it ends up
with a ring. I got you.
It ends up with a ring, my ring brother. Mike, I want to dive a little bit into your upbringing, your beginning. Because, you know, I peeked into that story, man, about, you know, I'm the 15th of 17, and I always say on air that I measure men in distance travel. You know what I mean? Don't tell me about where you are. Tell me about where you started. Let me see what road you traveled to get to where you are, and then I should measure you accordingly. Your beginnings were not easy. You had some rough times in the beginnings. Can you share some of that with the people, with everybody?
You know, as a child,
I
grew up. I had a great childhood. You know, other than the tragedy that happened with my father passing, my mom's brother, my uncle, killed him. You know, they had a dispute, and you know, he shot him one night after my dad came back from the club when I was 9 years old. My sister was 8, and you know, it was terrible at the time. It really was, but you know, I had so many great, you know, mentors and so many great people in my life to keep my mind focused. I had sports where I could channel all my anger. And, you know, I realized early on that bad things are going to happen all the time. You can't stop it. You can't control everything. And you just got to keep moving forward, keep, you know, living life, going as hard as you can and whatever it is you want to do. And just try to be the best person you can be while you're on this earth, because you never know when it's your time.
Mike, you say you and your sister. It's just you and your sister.
It was me and my sister, and then I had a little brother. He was born in 01, so he was 1 year old at the time.
And you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest, yeah.
Yep. You're the oldest. So you're 9 years old. You lose your father.
Yep.
Fourth grade. What grade was that?
I was in fourth grade.
Fourth grade, Mike. Yep. You know, and I look at you now and I see the maturity. You know, I see the maturity, and way more mature than I was at 27. Trust me, way more mature than I was at 27. And I wonder how much of that had to do with how mature you are now, because you have to grow up fast when stuff like
absolutely
that happen in life. How much of how mature you are now would you say have to go back, have to do with what you went through?
It definitely helped me. The mature process, had to be the man of the house. But early on when I was a kid, I was real quick to anger, real quick. If anybody said anything about my dad, you know how kids play around, I'm like, oh, your mama, your daddy, right. We fighting straight up. Like it was, no matter what it was, it could be the littlest joke. If you said anything about my daddy, we were fighting, we were scrapping. And, you know, I had to get over that. You know, I had to get disciplined and get over that. I mean,
how did you get over it? How?
But it was a process. You know, it didn't happen when I was young. When I was in high school, you know, I was still, you know, immature. I always felt that my heart was in the right place, but I did things that, you know, a 16, 17-year-old kid would do. When I got to college and I had my first kid, that's when I really matured the most. And because I'm responsible for another human being. And, you know, I cut all the childish things out, most of them. And, you know, as I got older, it's been easier and easier to mature. You know, my wife has helped me tremendous in that area. You know, I learned a lot of patience from my kids, and you know, I'm just maturing. You know, as it goes on.
Mike, I'm gonna tell you why I asked that, Mike, because I've watched some guys, man. I remember when I was in college at the University of Miami. My girlfriend at the time went to USF, South Florida, went to South Florida in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And I would drive, you know, I would drive on up that alligator alley those 3.5 hours and come her. And she would be in basketball practice. And I would be driving down Mayberry. Like, hey, man. And,
oh, yeah. See all the strip clubs.
Right. All those strip clubs, man. This before I even got drafted, I'm like, boy, I hope they don't draft me here. I don't know if I can survive this. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah, I already know.
Right. And I've seen a lot of talented guys come into Tampa, play the position wide receiver, and they'll have a few good years, and then things fall off. And I used to sit to myself like, what happened to him? I know what happened. That's what I would say to myself.
Yeah,
I know what happened. He got lost on Dale Mayberry. you can easily get lost.
That could have been a factor for sure.
Right. But that's why I bring up your maturity, man, because to do what you have done,
it's
pretty incredible. That's maturity.
I feel like God just put people in my life to make me get to this point. Like my wife, if I wasn't with my wife, I wouldn't be this mature.
Right.
Like being with her and having a partner as great as she is, she keeps me level headed. She makes sure that I'm taking care of the kids. She makes sure I'm not out all the time and things like that. And, you know, we do things that keep us out of trouble. You know, we stay home, we watch movies, we go on date nights, we do things like that. We're not always out at the clubs and strip clubs and casino. I do like the casino, but I'm probably gonna go there later on today. But
that ain't never wrong.
We keep that to a minimum, you know.
I tell my boy John, I say hi.
I got you. I'm gonna go see him.
That's what I'm saying. Tell him I see it. What's up, you know? But that's why the Bible calls them a helpmeet. Ain't nothing better. There's nothing greater than to help me. My career took off when I said, okay, let's stop playing. Let's get somebody to help you bring your black butt home at night. Because when I first got here, Mike, I had bought a house. When I got Dallas, I bought a house, man. And I was like, man, I ain't never in this house. You know, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, you just stay wherever you stay. And then I finally said, you know, I need an anchor. Let me get somebody to make me come home and get that rest. And then, you know, my bishop always says, that's why the Bible calls them a helpmeet. They help you meet help you meet what God's called you to be. I really do believe that. Mike, I want to talk about your coach, man, because your coach is, I find to be a phenomenal man. You know what I mean? such a cool dude, man. Tell me about Bruce Arians, man. What are your thoughts about Coach Arians?
Oh, he's a great coach. Great coach and a great guy. You know, he has his foundation. He encourages guys to spend family time. He gives us, you know, rest, days off when we're beat up. He's just the ultimate player coach. Everybody loves playing for him. When you talk to him, you don't feel like you're talking to like a head coach. You feel like you're talking to a coach, like a guy that you're cool with. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he's very relatable to the players. He looks out for us. And you know, I just love being around him. Real fun guy to play for.
But he will call you out now.
Mike, oh, yes.
Bruce will tell you the truth now. Coach will tell you the truth. It is what it is. He said, now, hey, and I heard him say, listen, I love your person, but I'm going to talk about your football. You got to have the right kind of football. I'm going to talk about it.
He'll get on your ass. He'll cuss you out, all that. And
what is he saying to you? Give me something he said to you. Come on.
Man, he never really, we've never got into it ever besides the first time I ever like met him on the practice field. It was OTAs. It was hot as hell in Tampa. And I'm dying. We're in a 2-minute drill. I'm dying. And I'm like throwing up in my route. And I'm like tapping my head. I got to come out. It's my going on year 6. We're in OTAs. I'm throwing up in my route. I got to come out. Like it's, we ain't winning the Super Bowl now. I got to come out. And so I'm tapping my head to come out. And then my coach is like, just one more. Receiver coach is like, one more. And Ben was like, man, nah, get him out of here. Get him out of here or whatever. And we kind of got into a little the back and forth right there. And then right after he called me, I was walking off the field and he called me back and I came back right away. And he was like, I apologize. I apologize. And I was like, nah, coach, I apologize. I should be in better shape. This and that. And then after that, we've never had a like an altercation. I've never got into it with a coach ever. And it was just that one time. And we made up right away. And that was it.
Yeah, he's good at that, man. I just think for him, and when I talked to him, I want to ask him about this because I thought in a year like what we have and all of the unrest that we have and everything that was going on, and you look at his staff and the diversity that he has on his staff, you know, the African-American coordinators, the female coaches and all of that. I think that's just such a hell of a story and something that we should all glean because all of it came together and made a championship. The mixture of it all made a championship. What are your thoughts when you think about all of that in the midst of what you've accomplished?
Well, his mindset is if they're qualified, they're qualified regardless of gender or race. And obviously they were qualified. They're unbelievable. This is an unbelievable coaching staff. I didn't even pay too much into the diversity because it's nothing to me. I mean, I feel the same way. If they're qualified, then let's go. The women coaches, Coach Lolo, Coach MJ, they know what they're doing. Byron, he's going to be a head coach someday, a really great head coach. Todd was a great head coach, and he's going to be one again someday. I mean, BA knows what he's doing, man, and he's opening up the door for more franchises to do that and see it that way.
So y'all got them all the way in. See, just for people that understand and listen, in the locker room, when you get the Coach Lolo and Coach Jimmy, when you get nickname Coach, all that stuff, like Coach BA, that means you all the way in. Everybody talk. That means you are all the way in over there, man. Hey, give me something that Tom Brady may have said to you this year that you've never heard from a quarterback, because you played with quite a few quarterbacks, certainly nobody at the level of Tom Brady. How has Tom Brady helped you take your game to that next level?
I've spoke on it before. My body, he like the way he takes care of his body, I've never seen anything like it. He makes sure that he's always ready to go. Every injury he has, he gets it treated. You know, in the past, I didn't do that. I'd skip out on treatments and not take care of my body, eat whatever, burgers, pizza, Henny and Cokes early in my career, you know, all that. And just learning how to take care of my body. I played at 220 this year, felt great. I had the one hamstring injury in camp, went to his treatment facility that he got that's real close to the Bucks facility, TB12 Sports, got that worked on, was getting work there all year, felt great. just got lots of treatment this year and took care of my body. And, you know, hopefully I can play half as long as he's played. That'll be a great accomplishment for a receiver. But, you know, he's just instilled so much confidence in me and my teammates.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles transform the way they work. After closing their New York City showroom, they started doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, people from all over the world can come into their showroom. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Man, you're 27, Mike. We're 27 right now, right?
27? Yes, sir. I'll be 28 for the start of next year.
Man, you're just hitting your prime. You're just hitting your prime, man.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting better, for sure.
Have you thought about, well, how do you want this thing to end? Like, I get, right now, man, I get to only reminisce about my history. You know what I mean? But you're writing it. You're writing your history right now. What else do you want to write? You write a record?
More Super Bowls, more philanthropy work, and it's a lot of wins, and catch a lot of balls.
Well, you make sure you do that, buddy. Let's talk about the philanthropic work you do. Why don't you share with everybody what about your foundation? Share the kind of work that you do.
Well, me and my wife started the Mike Evans Family Foundation back in 2017 to provide underprivileged kids college scholarships. We feel that education is very important, and it'll definitely lead to success having a college degree. We also help families that suffer from domestic violence. Because me and my wife have gone through that in the past, you know, it's documented. So that's what our foundation focuses on, but we just focus on helping people in general. There's people that are in need that can use that extra little push, or just even not just financially, just words of encouragement, or just, you know, our time, being at a shelter or just talking to kids and things like that. It could go a long way, because, you know, it went a long way for me when I was a child, and I understand that. And I'm just trying to pay it forward and give back, because God has blessed me and my family with so much. And, you know, I just want to be a light, you know, in this world.
Bishop Jakes, we always talk about that. You know, sometimes he says a lot of people run from their greatest pain. But in reality, sometimes our greatest promise lies right in that greatest pain. And that's exactly what you're doing, man. You're taking your great pain and turning it into a great promise and helping others that are dealing or suffer with that kind of pain. Mike, that's to be commended, man. I can't tell you how much I appreciate all that you've done, man. And I know already we've been running here and talking, 25, 30 minutes already. And I asked for 15. So I'm going to stop right here and get ready.
Nah, you're all good, man.
I appreciate you taking the time, man. And I just want to tell you, man, continue doing what you're doing and continue to set it up for us even better. I know I was crazy as a receiver, but I love
beast though. He was a beast though.
Yeah, but I love guys like you and Larry, only guys that keep it right there. I wish I could have kept it right there. You know, I matured a little later, I shall say, than most. I'll just leave it. I'll leave it at that. But thank God that God got me here. At least I finally got here. You know what I mean, Mike?
Sir.
Mike, thanks for taking the time, Mike, man. And again, man, thank you for bringing that back to me about what we talked about at the combine.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, that means I wanted to tell you that day and I didn't, but I can't let it go. And without telling you, that meant the world to me. You know, I went to Commissioner Goodell one time and had a talk with him because I wanted to leave TV to get into coaching because I thought I didn't make enough difference. I said, man, I had done Ken Norton's birthday party and I've seen all the players talking about how much he meant. And it was so touching. I was like, man, I should have been doing this, not TV. And Commish said, no, you're right where we need you to be. He said, Mike, because you told me, he said, because you've had some bad missteps. And now the story's ending well. He says, I want every player that falls down to know they can get back up and end well. And you being on that TV says that. I was like, man, I told him, thanks for saying that, man.
Makes a lot of sense.
It means a great deal that he sees it that way. You know what I mean? So I only say that.
And you're great at what you do, too. You speak very well, and you're all time great. So
I appreciate you saying that, buddy. Yeah. I really do, man. And I'm telling you, because it means that much to me when you say that, when you brought that back to me, I'm telling you, I had a sense of pride. Because then that said to me, okay, God, I'm doing what I told you. Because when I was at my Lord's, I told God, I said, God, just help me get up. And I promise I'll do what I got to do in that destiny. Yep. To give word to anybody else, man. So I appreciate it, man. Hey, be well, man. And thanks for taking the time. And go enjoy that ring, my ring brother.
I will, my ring brother. Appreciate it, big bro.
All right, brother. Appreciate it, man. God bless you, man.
All right, same to you.
It's always great catching up with the young man that plays the same position and I had early contact with. I love that he brings up the fact that we talk at the combine. I mean, that means a great deal to me, man. Mike Evans, thank you for taking the time, buddy. But now I want to share with you my playmaker of Super Bowl 55. Did you guys know when they go and come up with the MVP of the Super Bowl, you can't vote on a coach. You can only vote on individual players. And usually, honestly, it's a quarterback. If a quarterback plays anything, if he does anything, we're going to give it to the quarterback. And Tom had a good game. Tom threw for 3 touchdowns with 0 interceptions. We like to start looking at yards, but really what counts is that the plays he made, the 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He put himself in good places and put his team in good plays, and that's why they won the game. And they gave Tom the MVP. But the real MVP, or should I say, like I said, the real playmaker of that game wasn't on offense. Wasn't Tom Brady. Wasn't anybody catching the balls. Wasn't Gronk. He caught 2 touchdowns. And Gronk had a great game. I was so happy for Gronk. But honestly, unlike the MVP that they call, I'm talking about the only rightful place to call out and say you are the playmaker is that defense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Nobody. I guarantee you, not one person bet that the Chiefs would not score a touchdown. Can you imagine if you had gone to Vegas and said, I want to put down $1,000 that the Chiefs don't score a touchdown. What kind of odds they would have given you? I don't know, maybe 10,001? And no way the Chiefs will score. No way. Oh my God, it would have been off the board. You would have been just, they said, why are you throwing away money like that? You know the Chiefs going to score. What are you doing? What are you throwing away money like that, man? You might as well take that to a titty bar or something and do something good with it. Why are you throwing away money? That's exactly what people would be saying. But in the real, you would have won all kind of money because they did not score 1 touchdown. Dominican Sue, Vita Vea, JPP, Shaq Barrett, Lavonte David, all over Travis Kelce, and Devin White might be the best backer right now in the National Football League, period. That dude was balling all over the football field. That defensive unit, that secondary too. The secondary shut down Tyreek Hill, shut him down. They played, like Mike Evans said, they were simply the best defense in the National Football League. And they are the MIP Super Bowl 55 playmaker of the game. That Tampa Bay defense. Congratulations, Tom Brady, on winning your 7th. Congratulations, Tampa Bay, for winning the 1st in your home stadium. No greater gift or organization can give a fan base than winning a Super Bowl at home. And Tampa,
gave it to their fans. And if you're with me Sunday night, you'd have seen the fans giving it back to Tampa. That defense, you are the playmaker of Super Bowl 55. Next week, Bruce Arians.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles reinvent the way they work. When the pandemic hit, the bike shop had to close their New York City showroom. They found a way to reopen by doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, the team can meet with two or three times the number of customers than they could before. And people from all over the world can visit their showroom, learn more about their story and others at Microsoft.com/Teams.